Bobby went down the River Avenue, munching his bread as he walked. By the time he found a bench near the Housatonic River, most of the half-loaf had disappeared down his own throat. Ducks came waddling eagerly out of the reeds, and Bobby began to scatter the remaining bread for them, amused, as always, by the greedy way they ran for the chunks and the way they threw their heads back to eat them. After a while, he began to grow drowsy. He looked out, over the river, at the nets of reflected light shimmering on its surface, and grew drowsier still. He had slept the previous night, but his sleep hadn't been restful. Now he dozed off with his hands full of breadcrumbs. The ducks finished with what was on the grass, and then drew closer to him, quacking in low, ruminative tones. The clock in the town square bonged the hour of two at 12:20, causing people downtown to shake their heads and ask each other what the world was coming to. Bobby's doze deepened by degrees, and when a shadow fell over him, he didn't see it or sense it. "Hey, kid." The voice was quiet and intense. Bobby sat up with a gasp and a jerk, his hands opening and spilling out the remaining bread. Those snakes began to crawl around in his belly again. It wasn't Willie Sherman or Richie O'Meara or Harry Doolin. Even coming out of a doze, he knew that. But Bobby almost wished it had been one of them. Even all three, a beating wasn't the worst thing that could happen to you. No, not the worst. Cripes, why did he have to go and fall asleep? Kid! The ducks were stepping on Bobby's feet, squabbling over the unexpected windfall. Their wings were fluttering against his ankles and his shins, but the feeling was far away, far away. He could see the shadow of a man's head on the grass ahead of him. The man was standing behind him. Kid! Slowly and creakily, Bobby turned. The man's coat would be yellow, and somewhere on it would be an eye, a staring red eye. But the man who stood there was wearing a tan summer suit, the jacket pooched out by a little stomach that was starting to grow into a big stomach, and Bobby knew at once it wasn't one of them, after all. There was no itching behind his eyes, no black threads across his field of vision, but the major thing was that this wasn't some creature just pretending to be a person. It was a person. "What?" Bobby asked, his voice low and muzzy. He still couldn't believe he'd gone to sleep like that, blanked out like that. "What do you want?" "I'll give you $2 to let me blow you," the man in the tan suit said. He reached into the pocket of his jacket and brought out his wallet. "We can go behind that tree over there. No one will see us, and you'll like it." "No," Bobby said, getting up. He wasn't completely sure what the man in the tan suit was talking about, but he had a pretty good idea. The ducks scattered backward, but the bread was too tempting to resist, and they returned, pecking and dancing around Bobby's sneakers. "I have to go home now, my mother." The man came closer, still holding out his wallet. It was as if he decided to give the whole thing to Bobby, never mind the 2 lousy dollars. "You don't have to do it to me. I'll just do it to you. Come on, what do you say? I'll make it $3. The man's voice was trembling now, jigging and jagging up and down the scale, at one moment seeming to laugh, at the next almost to weep. "You can go to the movies for a month on $3. "No, really, you'll like it. All my boys like it." He reached out for Bobby, and suddenly Bobby thought of Ted, taking hold of his shoulders, Ted putting his hands behind his neck, Ted pulling him closer until they were almost close enough to kiss. That wasn't like this, and yet it was, somehow it was. Without thinking about what he was doing, Bobby bent and grabbed one of the ducks. He lifted it in a surprised squawking flurry of beak and wings and paddling feet, had just a glimpse of one black bead of an eye, and then threw it at the man in the tan suit. The man yelled and put his hands up to shield his face, dropping his wallet. Bobby ran.